Psalm 127 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. Let's pray. I thank you, God, this morning for your mercies through our past and upcoming week. I pray your blessings on this time together today, that your name will be glorified, that we will learn more about you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're still in the 47th chapter of Genesis. I'd like for you to turn there. I'm going to read the passage. It's going to be a short one. And we're going to start in verse 27 of chapter 47. I'm going to read through verse 31. Genesis 47, 27. It says, Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they owned land there. They were fruitful and increased rapidly in number. Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. The years of Jacob's life were 147 in all. The time for Israel to die, that is Jacob, approached. So he called for his son Joseph and said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh and show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt, but when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place. Joseph said, I will do as you say. Jacob said, and swear to me that you will do so. So Joseph gave him his word. Then Israel bowed down at the head of his bed. Let's pray. Father God, show us your truth. Show us your message for this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Verse 27. Israel settled in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and they owned land there. They were fruitful and increased rapidly in number. And a question presents itself immediately. If you've read the story, if you're familiar, here's the question. If Israel could prosper in Goshen, in Egypt, why couldn't the Egyptians do the same? I think, and this is my opinion, later portions of Scripture reveal a plain difference between the Egyptians and the Jews. It seems to me that the Jews valued life more than the Egyptians, and God blessed them accordingly. To put it plainly, we could say the Egyptians were cursed of God. How do I come to that conclusion? Well, in God's word, we find that God uses natural means to achieve his objectives. If you will, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, that is to Adam and Eve, and be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. At a time when Adam and Eve were the only human beings on this earth that God created, his first command that he made of Adam and Eve was when he told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. How were they to do it? And the scripture says that the answer is through children. Someone will turn to Psalm 127, read for us verse 3 through 5. So how were they to do it? Through children. How do we explain that? To simply explain the situation that we see in the 47th chapter, God's covenant people, in line with God, in other words, obeying God, went to Egypt, where God wanted them to go. They, like their ancestors, were looking forward to the city with firm foundations, whose architect and builder is God. If you will, turn to Genesis 25. To prove the point, Genesis 25, 21 and 22, Isaac prayed. How important is it to God? How important that God's word says that children are a blessing? Look at Genesis 25 and 21. It says, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. But the children struggled inside her, and she said, if it's going to be like this, I'm not so sure I want to be pregnant. So she asked the Lord, and the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. Two peoples will be separated from within you. One people will be stronger than the other, and the other older will serve the younger. When the time came for Rebecca to give birth, there was no problem. There were twins in her womb. And we know the story of Jacob and Esau from that point. I think it's a continuous thing in God's word. If you would turn to Exodus chapter 23 and verse 26. Someone read for me Exodus 23 and 26. First one that gets to it.
No woman will miscarry her young or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days.
Does that sound like God cares about children, that they're a blessing, that they're not a hindrance? Deuteronomy chapter 7, if you will. Chapter 7, verses 12 through 14. Go ahead.
And because you listen to these rules and keep and do them, the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and the steadfast love that he swore to your fathers. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, your grain and your wine and your oil, the increase of your herds and the young of your flock, in the land that he swore to your fathers to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be male or female barren among you.
Turn to Psalms with me, if you will. Psalm 113 and verse 9. Psalm 113, verse 9 says, and this is the NET version, "He makes the barren woman of the family a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord." Psalm 127 is one of two psalms that's been attributed to Solomon, and it resembles a proverb. It offers wisdom for building a stable home and a godly family in which the Lord is glorified and His kingdom is furthered on earth. As one of the songs of ascent, this psalm would remind families as they traveled on their pilgrimages to Jerusalem, if they were close enough, to depend on God for every need and thank Him for every blessing. And once again, one of those blessings is God's gift of children, where it says in 127 verse 3, "Children are a blessing and a gift from the Lord." Now some, if you'll look at different translations, and there are many, some prefer to translate this term that we see in 127 with the gender, what they call a gender neutral children, but sons seem to be plainly in view here. Daughters are certainly, no doubt about it, wonderful additions to a family. But in ancient Israelite culture, sons were the arrows that gave a man security in his old age, for they could defend the family interests at the city gate, where the legal and economic issues of the day were settled. So much for verse 27. Verse 28 states, "It turns out that Jacob lived just the same term of years with Joseph in Egypt as he has lived with him in Syria." And verse 28 said, "Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. The years of Jacob's life were 147 in all." So someone has figured out, and it wasn't me, bear with me, okay, it turns out that Jacob lived just the same term of years with Joseph in Egypt as he had lived with him in Syria and Canaan. And where we get that from, or where someone got it from, was that in Genesis 37 and 2, it tells us, and I'm going to read it. This is the account of Jacob. "Joseph, his 17-year-old son, was taking care of the flocks with his brother. Now he was a youngster, working with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's wives. Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father." Now, Israel, we're going to stop here. Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons, but we conclude from what that tells us, someone who knows more than I, that here was a point and we need to go to verse 29. I'm confused at this point. God bless me. Pray for me. Okay, verse 29. "The time for Israel to die approached. So he called for his son Joseph and said to him, 'If now I have found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh and show me kindness and faithfulness. Do not bury me in Egypt. Though righteous men will never die eternally, their body must die to this world, which is a blessing to them, the sting of death being removed. There's a time fixed for their death beyond which they must not live and before which they must not die. When that time comes, there's no avoiding it. So we can see in Genesis, I've got a reference here, we're going to check it out. I'm not sure it's correct. Bless me. 24 verses 2 and 3. Oh, okay. The validity of what Jacob said is confirmed, that, and we know from the past reading in Genesis that Abraham used the same approach to a promise. We saw that was in Genesis 24, 2 through 3, where Abraham used the same means. Now, the time of Jacob's death was drawing closer. And this is just conjecture. We don't know how he knew, why he knew, but he may have perceived by the great decline of his natural strength. And this is quite common. Let me back up to verse 28. Jacob was, it tells us, 147 years old. His father before him, Isaac, was 180 years old. Abraham lived to be 175. Sometimes this decline in the number of years causes people to wonder why that is. It's often seen as a reflection of the increasing effects of sin in the world. Jacob's life, filled with personal and family struggles, is a testament to God's faithfulness despite his human frailty. So in verse 30, he said, "But when I rest with my fathers, carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place." Joseph said, and he looked back at the 34 years that he had spent with his father, total 34. He qualified the oath that he was to ask Joseph to take. "If now I have found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh, show me kindness and faithfulness, do not bury me in Egypt." He had an eternal faith in God's word that they would be returned to the land of Canaan, that he would be. But he said, "Don't bury me in Egypt when I rest with my fathers. Carry me out of Egypt. Bury me in their burial place." Joseph said, "I will do as you say." It shows it to be a solemn obligation by placing his hand under the thigh, as was customary in that society. In verse 31, "Swear to me that you will do so." So Joseph gave him his word. He had enough strength to sit up, pay attention, to listen, to ask for that blessing at the end. Israel bowed down at the head of his bed. And shortly thereafter, we don't know how soon, Jacob's death happened.